My name is Freddie Ruboni, and I'm an alcoholic. Congratulations to the cake takers. Welcome to the newcomers. Welcome to those of you that are new that didn't raise their hands, or those of you that are here because your mom made you come here, or you're just walking down the street. Welcome. Welcome. You know what? I'm going to talk a little bit about my experience, strength, and hope, but I want to mention a quick two-minute story first. One-minute story. Oh, Al. It's about Al. This is one of the things sobriety gives you. Al is the main speaker. He's a good friend of mine, and he's a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I'm a Charger fan. And for about 2 years, he kept saying, "Freddie, why don't you fly with me to Pittsburgh, and we can watch the Pittsburgh's beat the Chargers." He bugged me. Finally, I said, "Okay, let's go," because my son lives in Pittsburgh. I have family in Pittsburgh. So I said, "Let's go." So I flew to Pittsburgh. I meet Al, and Al is such a great guy. He shows me around Little Italy. He shows me in his neighborhood where he grew up. You know, we got along. He even bought me a slice of pizza, and if you know Al, it's a big deal. You know, it's a big deal. We got along really good. He picks me up. We go to the game. I'm with my son, Lorenzo, and Al's on this side. Everybody's happy. Everybody's happy till we start winning. The Chargers start to win, and I look around, and I see 60,000 Pittsburgh fans looking at me and my boy, and we're wearing Charger gear. We're a little bit nervous. And then I'm not thinking to myself, you know what? At least I have Al with me. And Al's looking worse than these guys. I'm thinking to myself, you know what? You know what I'm going to do? Al likes, you know, nachos and whatever. So I go and I spend $25 buying nachos, hot dogs, soda pop, name it. He's got all this food and he's happy for 10 minutes. Chargers scored another touchdown. And I turn around and Al's like, "Fuck you, let's see if Mexicans can fly." We had good seats. Anyways, I got to tell you, a minute later, I turn around, Al's gone. But I love Al. He's my paisan. I love him. I got home. So, my story starts off with my first drink that I remember having. I was 12 years old. I was a door knocker selling newspaper subscriptions for the Union Tribune. A lot of kids did that back in the 80s. It was a way to make some extra money because my old man didn't have that much money growing up. And so I wanted to, you know, pitch in. So I knocked on doors selling papers door to door. And I remember one time I was in Oceanside. And I knocked on a door. And this young girl answers the door. And I asked if her mom was home. She said, "No." I said, "Do you guys want the paper?" She said, "No." I said, "Can I come in?" She said, "Yes." And for some reason, I don't know what happened, I kissed her, right? I kissed her. It was one of my first kisses. And I thought, well, you know, I have a girlfriend. You know, I have a girlfriend. And that's how alcoholics think. You know, we don't mess around. 12 years old, I have a girlfriend. And all of a sudden, this guy comes in the house, and he's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm with my girlfriend." And because I'm 12 and I'm full of testosterone, I said, "You want to fight?" He said, "Sure." So we go outside and we start to fight. And then she hits me in the back of the head because she's with him. I was so brokenhearted. It was my first relationship. That day, the van picks us up. We're a bunch of kids. We jump in the van and I'm sitting there. My boss, she says, "Did you sell any subscriptions?" I said, "No." She's yelling at me. And I'm like, "Don't talk to me that," you know, I was so pissed, you know, I was hurt. The guy next to me, his name is Doug, he says, "I got something for you," and he gave me a bottle of whiskey. That was my first drink. And life would go on. I would get older, and I would keep knocking on doors, different types of doors. I changed, and I spent some time as a guest of the state, and on and on, and on and on, and on and on. And I would get married a few times and have children. And I would have many successes and many failures in life. But one thing I couldn't do is I could never give up my second first love, which was alcohol. And about 12 years ago, a friend of mine brought me into Alcoholics Anonymous. It was actually my second DUI, and I went to Alcoholics Anonymous. And about 12 years ago, I decided I wanted to be sober. And I went to my meeting, my first meeting, which was Drunks Only in Mission Valley at that time. And I got 90 days. I made 90 days. See, it was pretty easy, actually, because I went to meetings every day, and I really believed I was an alcoholic. See, I believed it, and it was actually really easy. So I go back to the bar, the Lamplighter. I don't know if anyone's ever been there. And John, the bartender's there, and I'm like, hey, John, I don't need to drink anymore. I'm sober, and I was doing okay. It starts getting crowded, you know, people are playing pool, and they have those big beers. And John says, Freddie, you know what? I'm going to give you a token. Congratulations. You know, at that point in my life was still pretty good. It was manageable. I had a successful business that was doing really well. I had employees. I owned a few properties, a building, and so forth. I was successful in my business. And I didn't hit a bottom yet. You see, I didn't hit a bottom. I didn't hit a bottom yet. And I sat there for a long time and I looked at this token. That token lasted 8 years. And I went to AA almost every single day. I went to Drunks Only almost every single day. Guys like Al, a bunch of you guys around here that I've known for a while. You guys know I went every day. I went sometimes twice a day, sometimes three times a day. In that period of time, I got divorced again. My children left me again. In that period of time, I lost everything. I was facing, some prison time due to IRS issues. In that period of time, I kept drinking, and I couldn't get sober. And I just couldn't get sober. And you know what's funny is, I don't know why I'm sober today. I don't know why today I have 3+ years, which is to me a miracle. Just like when, if you have a week, it's a miracle. I can't tell you why I'm sober today. I can't tell you it's because I have a sponsor who has a sponsor. I can't tell you it's because I've done my 12 steps. I can't tell you because I found a power greater than myself and I got on my knees. I can't tell you why I'm sober. I love my big book. I read it. But I'll tell you one thing. If somebody said, Freddie, you don't need to go to so many meetings. Because I still go to 7 to 10 meetings a week, even if I'm traveling for business, which is quite often. I find a meeting anywhere, in Timbuktu. If somebody said, Freddie, you don't need to go to a meeting, I don't want to risk it. I'm not going to risk it. If somebody says, hey, Riboni, you don't need a sponsor, I'm not going to risk it. You see, I don't know what keeps us sober. All I know is that I do everything you tell me to do. All I know is that I go to a lot of meetings, I hang out with you guys, you know, I take suggestions, and I have sponsees, and I enjoy it, and today, by the grace of God, I'm not drunk. I don't have all the material possessions that I once had, and God, I don't want them. What I do have is peace of mind, and I get to wake up this morning, and I hear birds. With no bars. So I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to share, to speak with you guys. This is the first time I've ever spoken in front of such a large group. I was a bit nervous. And thank you very much.